I like the old-fashioned songs. There's nothing wrong with a new song. And we understand the ministry of a new song. Amen. But a new song is not a song that's sung like the world sings it. And you just add a little flavor of Jesus to it. Amen. I'm thankful for the old songs of Zion. And you say, why do we use the church hymnal, the redback around here? Amen. And I don't agree with every song that's written in there and how it's written and some of the doctrine that it promotes. But a lot of them songs have the touch of God upon them. We sing the ones that are in doctrinal line with the Word of God. And there's some goofy songs in there about mama and amen, all kinds of funny songs. I call them funny songs. I may get in trouble. Amen. But I love the songs we sing. Living by faith. Amen. Y'all say amen. Now, living by faith. I know my name is there. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Victory in Jesus. Amen. And hearing old-fashioned spiritual songs about I'd rather have Jesus are a blessing to my heart, and I thank the Lord for it. And what a blessing that is. I don't intend on changing none of that. Amen. Around here, we are unapologetically old-fashioned. Unapologetically old-fashioned. And I believe we can be old-fashioned and still love people and still, amen, minister to this day. It was that old-timey way. I don't know why I'm testifying about this, Brother Mike, but it was that old-timey way that brought me to conviction and changed my life. Jesus saved my soul, but he did it through that old-time religion is how he got a hold of me. And so I'm pretty endeared to that, and I love it. I'm not saying it's perfect in every way, but I'm thankful for, amen, these songs we've heard today. That's what I'm trying to say. Mark chapter 1, let's stand together. Mark chapter number 1, we've been preaching through or attempt to preach through the gospel of Mark, preaching through the life of Jesus, the life of our Savior in light of the way the Holy Spirit had Mark to pin it down. And I think this is our eighth or ninth message. And we've not even got out of chapter number 1. Somebody say amen. We'll get through this in today, and then next week, Lord's will, we'll finish chapter number 1. And we'll be moving on into chapter number 2. It may speed up just a little bit, but I sure do love the Word of God and love studying the life of my Savior. And so let's do that again this morning. Begin reading with me as we left off last time in verse 34. We'll begin in verse 35. The Bible said, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out, departed into a solitary place." The Bible said, Mark pinned it down, the Holy Ghost leading him, and there prayed. Simon and they that were with him followed after him. When they had found him, they said unto him, "All men seek for thee." He said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. I love these verses. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning letting us enter in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs. Lord, as we've testified a moment ago, they blessed our heart. And so we thank you for how you've led throughout the song service this morning. Lord, reminding us who our faith is in, reminding us, Lord, of where we're headed, reminding us, Lord, this world is not our home. Lord, reminding us, Lord, that in Christ is far greater treasures and pleasures than this world could ever offer. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for those reminders in song. Now, Lord, it's time to preach. Lord, you know the weakness of our voice, of our body. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, you'd take us beyond all of that. Lord, I'm well aware that the power of preaching is not in the style. Lord, it's not in the personality. It's not in how high we jump or how loud we can get. Lord, it's in the power of the Word of God and the moving of the Holy Ghost in this place. So Lord, I pray this morning that we would learn something, that we would be challenged and stirred. May sinners be convicted and saved. Lord, I pray more than anything, may the Lord Jesus be magnified as we study these verses in light of His life. Lord, may His life be an example to our life. Lord, may we leave here today being more in tune to following His example and the pattern He set. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we've been studying Mark, the Gospel of Mark, in particular here in chapter number 1, I would remind you the verses that we have read and preached from concerning verse 21 all the way down through verse number 34 consisted of one entire day in the life of the Lord Jesus. That day would begin being a Sabbath day with Him preparing and getting ready to go to the synagogue and enter into a worship service, a teaching service, a preaching ministry that He Himself would do on that day. That service consisted of the Lord Jesus Christ magnifying Himself and the power the Father had given to Him over unclean spirits, having cast out a unclean spirit out of a man that had been possessed a long time. We understand that after and following that service, Christ found Himself in the house of Simon Peter, and there upon entering the house, He saw His mother-in-law was sick. You remember we preached all of this. This is all in the course of a day. And there the Lord Jesus Christ touched her and healed her. And what a great miracle was done on that day. I imagine they ate somewhere after that was over as she arose and ministered to them and served them. No doubt that involved the eating of a meal and a time of fellowship. But the Bible said, as we preached in our last message, as the sun began to set, when the evening time began to, amen, settle in upon them, a time when most men would seek to find rest and relaxation after a long day of worship, after a long day of miracles, after a long day of exerting energy, that the Lord Jesus spent great hours on up into the wee hours of the night or the morning, and He did nothing but heal those that had been brought to Him with disease and devils and had needs that only the Master could meet. And what's interesting as we consider this, the Lord was busy, and my friend experienced a rather long and hard day in verses 21 through verse number 34. What a day that would have been to walk with the Lord and Brother Tim to watch Him, hear Him preach and watch Him do those miracles. What a day that would have been just to watch one day of the Lord's ministry and the Lord's earthly life. And as it ends into the wee hours of the morning, the Lord, amen, sends the last seeker of a miracle away, having their need fulfilled. No doubt the Lord and those that were in the house began to, amen, find a place to pillow their head and to rest for a little while. When we come to our text verse, in verse number 35, this reveals how that Jesus began the day after that one in a season of prayer. In fact, the verse said, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day." You say, but preacher, He had a long, hard day. Preacher, He was up into the wee hours of the morning. I know that. The Word of God said that He only needed a short season of rest, and something stirred within His heart in the early hours of the morning. The sun had not even broke across the eastern sky. Amen. The rays of sunlight have not cast even upon His brow, until the Lord began to seek a place to commune with His Heavenly Father. Amen. I want to say about Mark 1:35 in bringing us into our thought, that this was not an isolated verse or an isolated morning in the life of the Lord Jesus. In fact, you will understand this, I believe, that throughout Jesus' earthly life and ministry, He was known to often slip away to have sacred communion with his Father. He, as the Son of God in an earthly temple, in an earthly realm, in a vessel of clay, understood, I am privileged to enter the presence of my Heavenly Father. And so as in Mark 1:35, a man in the morning rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. What an example to you and I. Mark 14, verse number 23. A man testifies this is not an isolated morning in the life of the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter number 5, verse 16, chapter number 6, and in verse number 12, you will find that the Lord is said to have gone into a wilderness. He is said to have gone and departed alone. He is said, my friend, to always be seeking somewhere, my friend, to isolate himself from the busyness of his schedule. And in spite of all that was going on around him, he desired to find a place to pray. Hebrews chapter number 5 and in verse number 7, I think, is a great commentary of the life of the Lord Jesus in regard to the life of prayer that he lived. The Bible said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. And so we understand that in the days of his flesh, Brother Jack, according to that single verse, in the days of his flesh, Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. He was a man that sought to spend time with the Lord. Let me just throw a few things out about Jesus being a man of prayer. You'll find that in Luke chapter number 3 and in verse number 21, he was praying at his baptism. You'll find in Matthew 14, 19, Mark 6, 46, and he prayed both before and after the feeding of the multitudes. You'll find in Luke chapter number 6 and in verse number 12, he prayed before choosing the 12. In Matthew 19, 13, when many children were brought unto him, and he would bless them, the Bible said that he prayed over those children. In Luke 9, 18, he prayed before asking the disciples who he was. For he would ask them that all-important question, who say ye that I am? The word of God was clear. And Jesus was praying, no doubt, for them and the answer that they would give. In Luke 22 and in verse number 32, you'll find that he testified to Simon Peter that he was praying for him for the matter, the trial of his faith. In Mark 14, verse 32, 35, and 39, he was praying in the garden before his betrayal. In Luke 23, verse 34 and 36, he prayed even upon the cross of suffering. How being crucified, Jesus is seen praying. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ in his life and ministry of prayer, Luke 24, 30 said he prayed after his resurrection. And so throughout the life of the Lord Jesus, there is an affection and a love and a desire in his heart that he would be able to commune and talk with and walk with in prayer with the Heavenly Father. I believe I can be accurate in saying this, that Jesus was such a man of prayer that he still prays at the Father's right hand today. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 25 said, and he ever liveth making intercession for us. And so Christ has a desire to pray. Amen. In his earthly life, yes. Amen. After his resurrection, yes. Amen. But even in his ascension today, amen, we understand this. There is one mediator, which is one who is pleading, and one who is interceding, and one who is praying between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. And so we see that prayer was not a small part of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It was a great part of his life. In this context, in Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 35, Amen. I believe that we see that Christ prayed after. Amen. You say, what do you mean? After a busy day. After a great day in which God had blessed him and used him. Amen. Jesus prayed after. Amen. You know, we pray a lot of times before, and certainly that, amen, is the case. And we'll see that today, even in this text. Amen. We'll pray, dear God, you know what I'm facing. God, you know the burden that is before me. Amen. But when's the last time we prayed after God sent an answer? Amen. When's the last time we prayed after the blessing came? After the answer came to our life? Jesus, in this text, he is praying after. And then may we say he is praying ahead. And you'll see that clearly this morning. He is praying in the morning. He is praying before. Amen. Anybody else can get to him. He's praying before. Amen. All the busyness settles in upon his life. And we find that the Lord prayed after, but he's praying ahead. Amen. And then may I say he is praying apart. In this verse, the Bible said that he went out and departed. He went out and departed. Amen. That is, he left the house. And he left his friends, and he left those that, amen, maybe were lingering outside on the porch, amen, and he departed, he went out, and he prayed apart. Amen, we're never going to pray if we're not willing to separate ourselves, amen, from the busyness. I'm not even talking about just sin, amen, but from some of the busyness that takes place in our life. And so he prayed after, he prayed ahead, he prayed apart, and he prayed alone. Amen. He was all alone with the Father. Amen. Nobody else around, nobody else to hear, nobody else, my friend, to impress through the words that he would say. Amen. He prayed alone. Notice with me in this verse, I see the priority of prayer in his life. Amen. For the Bible begins this verse talking about this morning and season of prayer in the life of the Lord, and in the morning. In the morning, we see here, amen, that it was the first thing on his list. It was the first thing on his list. Amen. It was in the morning, which speaks of a priority of prayer. Amen. I understand that some folk are not morning people. I'm not saying we can't pray in the evening. I'm not saying we can't pray at noon. In fact, the psalmist David said, evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Amen. But there is a principle here that by praying in the morning, it shows that prayer was the priority of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see the passion of prayer in his life in this verse. Amen. For the Bible said he not only prayed in the morning, but it said rising up a great while before the day. Amen. Before the sun ever got up, Jesus was communing with his heavenly Father. Amen. Without an alarm clock. Amen. Without, my friend, a wake-up call. Amen. Without his watch beeping at him and telling him and buzzing and saying it's time to get up. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ got up of his own accord. Amen. And began to pray. Amen. It is as though in this verse Mark is saying that the Lord could in no way stay asleep for the longing he had to pray. Amen. When's the last time you woke up before the sun got up? Amen. And had a desire and a burning passion. Amen. To spend time with the Heavenly Father. Oh boy, I feel like we're going to preach here in a minute. Amen. Do you have a passion to pray? I'm afraid in the days in which we live, a day of bracelets and t-shirts and mantras of what would Jesus do? Amen. This is one area of our day of Christianity that is not doing what Jesus did. Amen. Here's a man who had a passion to pray. Amen. Look at me in the privacy of prayer. Amen. The privacy of prayer. He went out and departed into a solitude. solitary place. He knew that to effectively pray required separation and seclusion from that of the crowd. If he stays in that house, he knows it ain't gonna be long. That crowd at itself's gonna tell it far and wide. And they're going to bring others with them, and they're going to seek me. And the Lord don't have a problem with that. Amen. But before he ever does another miracle, and before he ever helps another family, and before, my friend, he ever engages in another second of ministry, he understands he must slip off. Amen. Before his public ministry can be what it is to be, he must have private time alone with God. Amen. We live in a day where many men and women and families of the faith, amen, they want the public accolades, but they don't want to pay the private price. Amen. I'm telling you, any man of God with a touch of God on his life, amen, he has, my friend, a private walk in time with God. Any Christian that'll ever be worth their soul, amen, and be the soul God saved you to be, and the light he wants you to shine to be in this world, amen, I promise you it won't be much in public, amen, without a private prayer life in time with Almighty God. Say amen right there. I know it gets quiet. There's a few things a preacher can preach on. Amen, it'll get quiet. Amen, cause folk, amen, know, and even myself understand we fall so short. Amen, in the matter of prayer. Notice with me, and this should give us our thought. Amen, the Bible said in this verse, there and there prayed. Amen, he got up again without an alarm clock. Amen, his mama didn't have to wake him up. Amen, he didn't lay in the bed till the sun warped his feet. Amen, he had that, he had, amen, prayer as a priority and a passion. Amen, he knew that he needed private time with the Heavenly Father. And when he found this place, amen, when he found his secret place, the Bible said, and there prayed. Now the thought this morning here, amen, is that we see the purpose of prayer in his life. Amen, the purpose of prayer. Why would the God man need to pray? Amen, you understand this. We believe this as a fundamental doctrine of our faith. That Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. He is the Son of Man, and yet he is the Son of God. He is the Word that was in the beginning, from the beginning, and without him was not anything made that was made. And yet John the Beloved would say in John 1:14, and the Word, that is the eternal Word, the living Word, and the Word from the beginning, amen, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen, this is not any ordinary man. Amen, this is the Son of God. This is the perfect man. Amen, this is the man who holds all the power of God. Amen, within his life. This is the man filled with virtue. Amen, this is the God man. And I ask you the question, why? Amen, why would Jesus need to pray? Why would amen, if anybody, amen, it would seem like in our mind, amen, would, amen, not need to pray and not need to seek God, because he was God, and yet the Bible said there he prayed. Evidently there were some reasons that he prayed, and that he needed to pray, and that he desired to pray. And so, amen, I'm preaching this morning on the thought, why Jesus prayed. I know that's simple. Amen. I know that's simple. You say, preacher, who cares? Amen. He did pray, and he's done been here, and he died and buried and raised again. Amen. But my thought is this. Amen. Why Jesus prayed? If we can answer that question and find reasons in his humanity as to why he needed to pray, then, my friend, if he needed to pray, how much more should you and I be willing and desiring to pray? Amen. Why Jesus prayed, I think, will answer the question why we ought to be praying. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm almost done already. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me give you four things out of the text here. Amen. This morning about why Jesus prayed. Amen. We find in the following verses. Amen. I think what happened after he prayed testifies as to why he prayed. Amen. They are revealing the purpose of prayer in the life of Jesus. Let me give them to you quickly this morning and we're going to eat. Amen. I'm sore. I don't know. I didn't schedule the menu. And I'm sore. There's fried chicken and ham over there and we're going to eat all we can. Amen. Notice with me. Amen. Number one, the pattern he forged. I tell you why Jesus prayed. He was forging a pattern. Amen. He knew there were those that were following him and his life. And is wanting to lay down to them an example. Amen. Then if I pray, I want you to pray. You say, where do you see that? Notice again in our text. And the Bible said, after that in the morning, rising a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And the Bible said, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. Amen. He knew there were some that were watching him. Amen. He understood there were some that, amen, were close enough to him that he could have an impact on their life, on their ministry, amen, upon the things they were going to face in the day to come. Amen. And I believe Jesus prayed, and he prayed in the days of his flesh. He prayed in the days of his humanity because he was forging a pattern, amen, for Simon and Andrew and James and John. And my friend, by watching him pray and by hearing him pray, it would stir them in their heart. Amen. To one day in Luke chapter number, is it 11 or 13? I can't remember. Amen. Right off that. Amen. They walk up on the Lord while he's praying and they dare not interrupt him when he gets done and he says his final amen. Amen. They come to him, Brother Jack, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Why is that? Amen. Because Christ had set a pattern and Christ had set an example. Amen. That my friend, men, what did Jesus say? Amen. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. He set a pattern. Amen. He prayed to show of those who followed him that they are to pray. Amen. He prayed that he might show those who follow him how to pray. He prayed that he might show those who follow him. Amen. I need communion with the Heavenly Father. And if I need it, you need it in even greater ways. And I say this morning, somebody, amen, is watching your life. Mama, daddy, somebody, amen, some youngin' is watching your life. Amen, do they ever have any consciousness, amen, that you spend time with God? Amen, is it evident in your life that you pray? Is there any faith there? Is there any example there? Is there any pattern being forged? That my friend, they can follow and learn what it is to pray. Amen. Maybe my friend, and y'all ain't gonna believe this. Amen. I'm gonna be a grandpa in October. Amen. So I'm getting to preach to us grandparents. Somebody say amen. Amen. I wonder if some of us grandparents, amen, are living a life of prayer. Prayer being an emphasis and prayer being something important to us. Amen. That our grandchildren, be they in the world, amen, are in days to come. Amen. That they can follow a pattern that we forge in our spiritual life. And they would want to learn what it is to pray. Amen. Somebody around you, if you're a child of God. Amen. Listen, I'm not preaching this. Amen. It's becoming braggadocious. I don't ever anywhere but Gerald read anywhere. Amen. Where Jesus bragged about his own prayer life. I don't ever see anywhere where he told folk how often that he prayed. Amen. I don't read anywhere where Jesus said, amen, gather around and let me brag on myself how much time. You know, he didn't have to do that. Amen. He just lived it and he just done it. Amen. And it showed out in his life that he is a man of prayer. When people seen his life, they knew there's something different. And my friend, those that was close enough him enough to him, amen, to witness his life, amen, realize, amen, the difference that is in him that we're lacking in our own life. That's a man of prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good quiet crowd we got here this morning. Amen. The pattern he forged. Can anybody follow your prayer life? If anybody prays as much as you do, and as effectively as you do, and with as much passion as you do, if we all followed your example, I wonder how much praying would be done and how much effectiveness would be in it. Jesus prayed. And he prayed to set a pattern. Amen. And I'm not necessarily saying we're the pattern. Amen. Ultimately, Jesus is the pattern we're to follow. Amen. And he prayed, amen, that those that follow him might know that they need to pray as well. Amen. Number two, notice with me, Jesus prayed because of the pattern he was forging. He prayed because of the pressures he faced. Look with me in verse number 37. The Bible said, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. In other words, Lord, it's time to get busy again. Lord, you won't believe everybody who has come to see you. And you wouldn't believe the multitudes upon multitudes. And maybe Simon is evangelistically speaking. Amen. When he says, all men seek for thee. Amen. What he's really saying, there's a bunch of folk. Amen. That are needing you. That you are the one that can meet their need. Amen. Do you know what kind of pressure that is on a man? You understand how much pressure that is. Amen. When multitudes are thronging in upon him. Amen. But I'm telling you, he can face that pressure. Amen. He can endure under the load. Amen. He can put one foot in front of the other. Amen. So has my friend to do the work of God. Amen. Because in the morning of that day, amen, he spent time with God drawing strength, amen, from his communion with the Heavenly Father that sustained him and the pressures he faced.
Amen.
Amen. We're living in a day, and y'all can shout or you can, amen, boot your lip here. We're living in a day everybody's always wore out. We're so wore out. I'm just so wore out. And I understand we get tired. Amen. These folk don't do nothing and it's wore out. Come on now. They spoke, my friend. Amen. Amen, they just always wore out. I got this on me. I got that on me. Amen, Jesus prayed. Amen, and he prayed because he knew. Amen, he knew there were pressures. Amen, that was going to come his way. There was things that were going to seek his attention. And things that would seek, amen, to have him make an impact upon them. Amen, and he understood before I ever face any pressure, I need to know that I've got the power of God upon me. Amen. And he prayed because of the pressures he faced. May I say there will be many people and problems that are hurled his way that can only be handled by a man of prayer and faith.
Amen.
Some of y'all face things this week. When you faced it and you felt the pressure, you caved under the load. We all have faced things this week. People, pressures, things, problems that, Brother Jack, are common to every day, every week. It's common to humanity. Say, preacher, I didn't do so well with it. Well, let me ask you, did you spend some time with God? It's amazing when we spend time with God like we're supposed to. Man, we keep wind in our sails. We, my friend, have the power of God. We live our life as it were. Amen. Ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen. And I mean, it don't seem like anything can bring us down. And I say that's no coincidence. Amen. Even Jesus understood if I'm going to bear up under the pressure that I'm going to face today, I need time in prayer. Amen. The pattern he forged, the pressures he faced. Number two, the priorities he followed. I'll be honest, if even in my own life, had you come to me, Brother Larry, this morning at 9 o'clock when we got in that early prayer room this morning, if you'd have come to me and said, "Preacher, you won't believe there are droves and droves of cars and people trying to get in here. They're seeking the truth. They're seeking your ministry. They want to hear you preach." Buddy, I'm telling you, there'd be something probably in me to rise up and go, "Oh, yes." Say, "Wackles, I want to see every pew in here full." And I believe my motive's pure in that. I believe, amen, it's for the honor and the glory of God. That's one of the things that when I pray about our church, I pray, amen, Lord, let us see sinners saved. Let these pews be filled, not for our name, not for our glory, but for the name's sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about His glory. And it's about the sinners that are in there. I know there's people all around us that, amen, if they'd hear the gospel, listen to the gospel, embrace the gospel, amen, repent of their sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord could change their life. He could do a miracle in them. And I want to see these pews filled, Brother Tim, because when every sinner that gets saved gets born again, it is a testimony of the grace of God. I want to see these pews filled, amen, with sinners and multitudes that are seeking the Lord. Amen, because I want my children to understand the power and the grace of God. Amen, not just in their life. Amen, not just being something their daddy preaches, that they would know, "I have seen God do great things." So if you come to me this morning and said you won't believe it, they're lined up all the way down 25E trying to get in here, I'd say, pack them in. Put them everywhere you can. Amen. Bring them in. Fill the pews. Set out the chairs. Amen. Open the windows. Open the doors. Amen. I'd tell John, pack the sound as loud as we can stand it. And let's preach. Let's try to reach the multitudes. But notice what Jesus said. And Simon said, "All men seek thee." Now, a man who ain't been spending time in prayer can't discern the will of God for his life. The Bible said that rather than running to the crowds, Christ had some priorities that he must follow, that no doubt he has received instruction from his heavenly Father in the wee hours of that morning, and is as great as even a great as a purpose as it would appear. Amen. To sit there and minister to the crowds. Amen. Jesus said, "Amen." He said, "Let us go into the next towns, and I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." In other words, Jesus said, "I didn't come to necessarily perform miracles. I came to preach a message."
Amen. Right.
Amen. Let me run a rabbit here. Amen. I think it was Brother Mike Bagwell I was listening to. Amen. He said when he was in Bible college, one of them professors said, "Young men, don't run rabbits while you preach." And he said he went on for about 10 minutes about don't run rabbits. Amen. And he said, as I'm listening, I was in tune to what he said. He said, after 10 minutes of telling us not to run rabbits, he said, "Now don't run rabbits, boys. Don't run rabbits unless they're biggins." Amen. May I say this morning, amen, the ministry of the church, amen, it's about a message that we preach. It's about a message that we have. Amen. That's why around here I'm not against programs. I'm not against different things. Amen. I wish maybe we could offer some more things.
than what we do. And I'm constantly praying about some of those things, and I understand that. Amen. But if we never have another program, if we never, my friend, have, amen, some of the externals that, amen, a lot of other places can and do have, amen, may I say one thing, amen, that we cannot go without, amen, is an understanding of the will of God, amen, that the church must be first and foremost about the preaching of the message of the gospel. Amen. We're not about crowds, we're about Christ. We're not about the multitudes, we're about a message. Amen. And in the day of the seeker movement, amen, I heard one preacher testify. Amen. I won't give y'all names because y'all think I'm a liberal and compromised. Amen. Because I even listened to him, but I like this statement. Amen. This one preacher said, amen, another well-known preacher told him about the seeker movement. He said, we don't do that. Amen. We don't go out in the community and ask them, what do you want in the church? What do you want the church to be? And this old preacher said, if we did do that, amen, if we did go out and ask them what they want, he said, I'd bring all that information in, and I'd sit down at my desk and I would evaluate that, and then I would do everything opposite that they were asking for. Why? Because we've not been called to conform to the world to reach the world. We've got a message that has stood the test of time. We've got a message that, my friend, if they, amen, if they won't hear it, there is no other way. Amen, if they won't take it as God has given it, there is no other way. And Jesus understood that. Amen. Oh, listen to me now. I feel some preach getting ready to come off. Amen, there's a little gunpowder just went off. Amen, in this day, in this age. Amen, of preachers that have compromised and trying to find something other than preach it, and something other than, man, friend, amen, what God has called us to do and be. Amen, all churches are falling by the wayside. You say, but preacher, they're great. Amen, but what message are they preaching? Amen, what standard are they lifting out? Amen, what use is it if you leave preaching out? Believe that's right. Jesus knew what the will of God was for his life. When others tried to distract him from it, and even when, my friend, he'd have had large crowds flock to him, he said, I can't do that. That is not what God told me to do. Amen. Why are there so many people out of the will of God today? Everybody look here. It's because they do not pray.
That's right.
That's right.
Right.
Amen. Boy, I feel like as quiet as it is, I need to park right there and plow some stumps. Do you know the will of God? People flounder around every which direction. Can't ever be stable. Can't ever be grounded. I'm talking about the entirety of their life. The entirety of their life, their family's up and down and in and out, and on the job, amen, in the family, in the church, and just the way they live their life, their yo-yos always all over the place.
Right. Yes,
let me tell you what that's evidence of. You can like it, lump it, I love you. I'm telling you the truth. It is evidence there is a lacking and a disconnect in communion with the Heavenly Father. Jesus prayed, and in praying, He prayed for the purpose of that He might know, and not only know, but Tim, not only know, amen, not only know the will of God and not only be empowered to do it, amen, but to have that wall of prayer raised up about His life and kept Him in the Father's will.
Amen. Amen.
No, I know where I'm preaching today. I'm trying to help us. If you'll get a hold of what I'm preaching, it'll change your life.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He prayed because he needed some priorities to follow in his life, and those have to come from God.
Amen. That's right.
The priorities in my life come from God.
Yes, sir.
Prayer keeps us in the Father's will. Number four, and I'm done. I like this point. Notice with me, Amen. We've seen the pattern that he forged. We see the pressures he faced. We see the priorities he followed. I'll tell you why Jesus prayed, because of the powers he fought. Verse 39 said, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. You understand, we're living in a world full of devils. But Tim, and if you ain't been showing up Sunday school, you need to get here, because he's exposing that. He's exposing the fact that, my friend, we're in a war and we're in a battle. Amen. And Jesus had already encountered an evil spirit in the synagogue the day before. Amen. He had already cast out an unclean spirit. Amen. Through the evening hours, the Bible said in verse 34, the evening hours of the previous day, he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils. Amen. He knew they were everywhere. He knew the battle was raging. He knew that those wicked forces of hell, amen, were in work all around him. Jesus went and Jesus preached, but he never took on the powers of hell through preaching until he first of all prayed. He never, mad friend, a man stood up, a man and against him, until he had spent time with the Heavenly Father. Now I'm telling you, there are powers that are all around. Amen. If I was really honest today, and I can't because of many different reasons. Amen. If you knew some of the problems, amen. If you knew some of the enemies, amen. Some of the ways that the enemy has come against, amen, people's lives and people's families, amen, the way that their life has, amen, been attacked, and their faith has been assaulted. Amen. I believe it's them spirits, them principalities and powers, and the rulers of the darkness in this world, and the spiritual wickedness that's in high places. Say, so, well, I'm going to go to church. You ought to come to church. That'll help you. But you better pray. Amen. So I'm going to carry my King James Bible under my arm. That is all important now, the sword of faith. Amen. The sword of the Word of God is a vital part. The whole armor. Brother Tim said this morning, the whole armor. Every square inch of the armor has got to be put on. And Tim, I'm sure, will get to it after he goes through all the, from the head to the foot. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In other words, Paul said, you can have all that on. If you leave prayer out, you are a dead duck in the water. Even Jesus knew. The spirits want to attack me. I'm going to encounter some things that are going to be from another dimension, from another place. Amen. They're going to be vile spirits. Amen. You say, you're trying to scare us, preacher. Amen. I'm telling you, there are evil spirits in this world that are at work and are trying to drag sinners to hell and trying to destroy families and trying to knock out Christians and trying to divide churches. And no wonder they're being so successful in this day. I wonder we can't cast them down and cast them out and live in victory. There's very few people that are willing to get on their knees and pray the power down.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. If people would pray, amen, they wouldn't have to run down to Benny Hinn. He's a heretic anyway. You don't need Benny Hinn's help. You get in the prayer closet and pray, you can pray the evil spirits down. People talk about spiritual battles and warfare, and it's absolutely real. Amen. I've been there days when the battle raged and fought. Amen. But the Bible said if you'll draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. How do you draw nigh to God? Amen. You draw nigh to God when you get on your knees and you begin to seek His face in prayer. If you'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. He'll give you power to resist the devil, and according to the Word of God, the devil then has to flee from you. Well, the devil, you know, the devil's just wearing me out. We give the devil way too much credit in these days. Amen. These days, I don't know, Brother Tim, to give them that Three Stooge eyeball pluck you talked about. Well, the devil made me. I'm gonna go. Devil didn't make you do nothing. What happened is you quit praying. You didn't tap into the power source. The power ain't in us. Amen. It's the power of Christ in us. Amen. It's not in our flesh. It's not in what we've learned. It's not in, amen, all the religious rhetoric and the religious activity. Amen. It's in the power of Christ. And even Christ spent time in prayer before he ever preached the devil out of anybody. Amen. Thought about preaching out of this text on how to preach the devil out of you. It's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He went to their synagogues and preached and cast out devils. He preached the devil out of them. But he could not do that till he had prayed.
Yes, sir.
Believe that's right. Why did Jesus pray? Prayed because of the pattern he forged. He prayed because of the pressures he faced. He prayed because of the priorities he followed. He prayed because of the powers he fought. Church, you ever feel like you got more on you than you can handle? You ever feel like, man, the life is just so busy? And we'll make statements like this, and some of y'all been thinking about it today. Boy, I work too much and too hard. I don't got time to pray. I don't got time to pray. I believe it was the old saint of God, and I know we wouldn't agree, and there's a lot of them old timers that are heroes and did far greater things for God than we've done, that we probably wouldn't line up with doctrine on a lot of things. But George Mueller said in his diary one morning, he said, "I have so much to do today, I think I'll have to add 2 hours of prayer to get it all done." Those saints of God, you'll have to be honest, Riley, they got far more done than we're getting done today.
Right.
So before you criticize me and what I preach today, understand the pattern from here back says we better start praying. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Keep casting, keep praying, keep seeking God. There is power in prayer. Amen.